Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is August 27th, 2005. This session, Alive to God. One who loses his or her life for my sake will find it. Presented by Dale Jomtgaard in the Crickside Room. Disc number JAD 2005-02. Let's listen in.
And the theme for today is He Who Loses His Life Will Find It. I'm Dale Jomtgaard. That's all for the sake of the tape. Paul talks about dying with Christ and rising and walking in the newness of life. And let's reflect for a moment. What do you think is the newness of life? Jesus talks about finding life. It kind of is a process. I've asked a question.
Okay.
What do you think is the newness of life?
A great big question mark on the board behind you would wake us up, maybe. Wake me up, I should say. Speak for myself.
I would think it would be living in healthy relationships with God and with others.
Okay. Yeah.
For me, it's more like from the poem "Drum Day Day Day" to sort of a exciting generating in me an excitement. What's free day? What are we going to do today? It's kind of a different feeling.
Okay. And then. An anticipation of something unfolding. Okay.
I guess I connect that to eternal life in one way, except to say that it's sort of a misunderstanding often people have of eternal life as something you get after you die, which, of course, we teach that we know we have life at our baptism, eternal life. That it begins. And, well, what is eternal life? It's a relationship with God, with the Father. So, somehow, life, finding it, as you said, I think it's a process, I think it's a good way to describe that, is to keep growing into that relationship with the Father. That you discover more and more what that means. It gets deeper and deeper. Like a marriage that when you begin is only, you only know so much about it, and over years becomes a broader experience as an analogy. And then finally, in death, it becomes perfect life. But you're growing towards that. That's ideally what you're trying to find. You're trying to find that relationship to its fullest, and then finally we know it fully in heaven.
Okay, what changes might that entail?
Get out of your self-centeredness.
Okay.
Serving your neighbor for the sake of serving your neighbor because of salvation. Through salvation.
I think one of the things for me that I'll just say what's happened in my own faith journey is that uh as I go along, I realize more and more how little I know. So it seems like I know less and less, but I become more and more comfortable with that. So it's sort of letting go of my need to know and to understand and finding a certain peace in that.
Okay. We haven't talked much about the new life. I think as I experience church, and especially in terms, we might talk about loving more what we're doing, but I believe just that we are raised with a new body. When Jesus said, what are some of the things he says? If your eye is sound, your whole body will become full of light. Have you experienced the lightness of your body lately? Or, my peace I give to you, not as the world, a new sense of presence and peace. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that you will know things that you don't know how you know them. Be healed, be whole. So I think these are actually bodily experiences. And I quoted this yesterday, but anyway, I like Isaiah's sense of it. To run and not be weary, to walk and not grow faint, to rise up with wings like an eagle. In other words, what is it like to really be at peace? What is it like to have an unfettered kind of hope, optimism, possibility, potentiality, and sense of vision, and so anyway, I think these are some things that seem to Jesus as he talks about what it means to have life are real possibilities for us. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Having that sense that God is always saying the word that becomes us, that who we are is we are a God being. And getting away from this, I'm here and God is there. But how? What does it mean that I am a child of God? It means that every moment of my existence, I am a God being. And there's an interaction always between I and God. It's I don't choose to relate to God in the sense that I can choose whether I want to relate to God or not. I am a manifestation of God. Now it's whether I'm going to participate in it or not that is the issue. But God is always saying the word that becomes me. And then to be filled with the light, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the gifts, the gift of peace, the emphasis Jesus makes on receive my peace, and my peace is different than any other kind of peace. It's a deep sense of, I now know who I am. I do not need to be anxious or strive. I can be here and now and be me and let me flow out. Hope. You have faith, you can ask and it shall be given. Far more is possible than you can imagine because you are at peace with who you are. You've been given who you are. You don't need to fear that. So you can be ready and free to risk in this life. And as you trust and risk, far more will be possible than we can imagine. and love. Let yourself discover that you are designed to be a lover. And so what it means to love with your heart, energy, feel, mind, intention, compassion, body, and all of you. And so with our Cartesian Newtonian physics, when you ask people, where is your soul? They tend to say, it's in there. Like, this is us, and the soul is a part of it. And I like Meister Eckhart, 12th century mystic, he says, the soul is not in the body is in the soul. A whole different kind of dynamic. And so to have research now is testing the field of energy of the heart and finding that it's a very powerful field. And then there's a level of knowing in the heart. In other words, it seems to know things at a different time and way than the mind does. And I don't want to get into that a lot, because all of this I'm wanting to say quickly so that we don't spend the rest of the time looking up Bible verses and talking about this. But I'd like to guide you in experiencing it, if you'd be willing. So, what is the cauldron? The cauldron for me is where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them, and there it can all happen, because Christ is present. So I'm going to talk with you a little about, I'm not going to talk with you. I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to invite you to form groups of three and to sit a little ways apart and probably go be with someone that you don't know particularly well. In other words, break up. So what I'd like to have you do now is just pick up your chairs and form groups of three where you're facing each other. What do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 3.
Here's two. We need one more.
We may need to have a pair.
And are we equally divisible by three, or
make a group of four? Why don't you two come and be a group of four?
Okay.
And now, spread out a little so you're not right close to other groups.
It's important.
Now I'm going to be inviting you to do things that may seem strange, and you can do them or not do them. And you may want to just risk trying to do what I suggest. And see what happens.
I'm sorry, I'm being a naughty student. Could you repeat your last half of the last sentence, please?
Well, just that I'm going to be asking you to do things that may seem a little strange to you, but I'm inviting you to do them and see what happens. It's all in terms of finding, because we can't find a lot of this stuff that Jesus talks about unless we venture into it and explore it and say, well, let's see what happens. But you also are free to choose not to do it if there's something you don't want to do. Okay? Okay, now, that's a big word, now. Are you present in the now? Okay. Well, we'll explore that, and I'll check with you later. I invite you to close your eyes. Oh, wait a minute. Let exchange your names. Just a little
say hi to each other.
Nancy.
Where are you from?
Jim.
Yeah.
What is your name? Jim. My mom's Sandy.
I'm Gretchen. I'm from Portland. I'm from North Dakota.
And now in the custom of the early church, I would like to have you greet each other as brother or sister and the name. As a brother or sister.
So you're Sister Sandy.
The church was like a family. And so they used the intimate terms of brother and sister. And in a sense, what it's saying is, I acknowledge you as a child of God. That we are in God's family. And I honor that. I see you. That in you. And so we gather as brothers and sisters. And I invite you now to close your eyes. And become centered in your chair. Not stiff, but just let your back be straight. Let your feet be on the floor. And be with your breathing. No need to change it, just be with what is happening. Now move your awareness down to the floor and notice how your feet touch the floor. And then be with each foot. And just be with whatever you discover there. Be with it. Be with your toes, the balls of your feet. Your arch, your heel, your ankle. Be with your whole foot and the shift to the other foot. You may notice some letting go, some releasing. Move your awareness up to your calves, your knees, your thighs, be aware of the extent to which you're trusting the chair. Move your awareness to your spine. Move up your spine to between your shoulder blades. Your shoulders. Your neck. The base of your skull. Your scalp. now be with your abdomen. Your solar plexus. Be aware of the beat of your heart. Awareness to your right arm, your shoulder, your bicep, your elbow. Notice some tingling, some letting go. And compare your right arm with your left arm. Left arm. Be with your left arm the way you are with your right arm. Notice what happens. Your breathing. Your throat. Your jaw. Your cheeks. Your temples, behind your eyes, your forehead, the top of your head. Now move your awareness over your whole self. And know the deep sense of peace that is the gift of Christ. It is the peace of presence. Now bring your hands to about an inch in front of your face. Just slowly move them around your face. Be present to the heat and the energy. Move them around your whole head. Sense the energy of your whole body. Bring your palms about an inch apart. You might notice some sensations between your hands. Now bring your hands up before your eyes and slowly bring them closer until finally your hands cover your eyes. Be present to the dark. Let the radiant Christ be present before you, and slowly open your hands. With your eyes closed, and let that light enter into you. Receive the light. You are the light. Be filled with the light. And as you experience the light, notice where there may be darkness in you. And let that open to the light. The healing light, the light of energy, vitality, health, and imagine moving as light. Find a place where you can move and feel yourself as light. For the light of life has come into the world and into you. Come back in the room and to yourself. Be with your breathing. And hear Jesus say, receive the Holy Spirit. spirit of knowing. The spirit of power. Now bring yourself into yourself and for a moment reflect on what you may want or feel a need for in your quest for the new life. It may be a certain ability or capacity. It may be for a way to deal with a certain situation in life. In what way do you want to grow in your sense of new life? Now the person sitting next to me, and I'm going to have you take turns. What I'd like you to do is share that with your brothers and sisters in terms of asking them to pray with you about it. For what would you want them to pray? And so just take a few moments to share what came to you, what it is you're wanting or needing, looking for, and then I will guide you from there after you've shared that. Person closest to me, share start, please. Open your eyes and share.
To grow and mature, just kind of navigating the relationships and you know, growing together in that way.
Yes.
And enjoying each other.
Ask any questions if you need to understand. Okay. When you feel you've understood the person and what they're wanting, be quiet. Person who has shared what they want, close your eyes, and the others of the group, stand by them and lay your hands on them and pray for them for what it is they said they wanted or needed. So stand by them and pray for them.
pray out loud?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you'll let me see and pray that all the family issues and concerns that she has, that you would bring light and peace to those issues and wisdom for her and patience for her and Katie as they deal with these family issues and relationships. We pray that your peace would be flooding their whole family as they look, learn, love and welcome each other. Heavenly Father, pray for his family and their relationships can be strengthened.
As you finish, you can sit down. After you've finished with the first person, just sit down, please. I was unclear. Okay, and now for the second person, I would like to have you check and ask for something that is about you and how you live life. Not for other people, not for other things, but ask for what you want in the way you are able to live your life. What skills, insights, ability to deal with situations, or mention a specific situation that you want help with, dealing with. Okay, and share that again. And the other two, just listen and make sure you understand what it is the person is wanting. Okay? When you feel ready, move into the prayer stance.
I can get this.
All right. partial to what the world and makes it all in the kingdom of righteousness. To enjoy this time in the life and to laugh at yourself and your situations. And that you would just have a feeling of joy in your life.
She's okay to have time for the third person to move into a prayer stance. Okay, and go ahead and move to the third person now, as you're ready.
I think she may just have said a little. I don't, I'm guessing, but maybe a little bit older than that.
Okay.
So,
like a little more later.
No, oh, no, okay. I think she felt like she wasn't really sure how to.
Yeah. How old was she?
Eight. Yeah. I think she came with me because she didn't want to go to the laundry thing. So. Oh, okay.
As you are finished with the process, reflect together about what the process meant to you. How did you experience what you were doing?
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the healer of our lives. And you do desire to make us whole.
I felt very comforting to have somebody pray for me and pray over me.
And bring wholeness.
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes I'm not even comfortable sharing my concerns with my friends, but even with people that I don't know well, it should be very comforting. Maybe it works out, I don't know. Maybe.
Yes.
I'm not really surprised at that, too. Mm-hmm. Somebody touching me as a little dad, and I bring you down to his music also. It's not so that.
I'm very good friends.
ask your neighbor, and you wonder if we should touch them.
Right. And some people aren't comfortable with
that. That's true.
And I didn't realize how much I missed that.
It was just nice to have somebody other than my husband just to pray with us, these kind of things for me.
Sometimes that's hard.
Was it interesting when you were doing this? The warmth of my hand, I could feel around my face, and I never sensed that
anymore. No, I don't sense that either. There's actually a whole school of others up there.
Take just a moment to reflect on the experience. How did you experience what you just did?
Because they're always asking for effort and asking, but to have somebody actually give it to me, it was really nice. But I also realized at some point when they stop doing that, I'll probably miss it. And I always have in my mind that, when I have the time to do this and the desire to volunteer at a hospital in a nurse room, just go and sit in a rocking chair and hold babies.
Right, and see myself get there close to my kids. And she has 2 and 4 and 6 year olds. And when I sit in there, sometimes there's two.
You need a big chair.
Yeah, there's too much. Yeah, not too much.
Right.
It's a space.
Right.
So there's their balance. I don't want to try to go I need to move on close to them. I mean, I want to move on. And yet, oftentimes, I need space
too. Right.
So I don't want to come to
Paul, and my son is, he'll be 7 in about 4 days. And I'd rather have that than, kids that don't like to be touched, but it's just always, it's funny, we're in the process of getting ready to build a house, and I've always said, well, you really only need one room, because, whatever room I'm in. I realize, a couple of years that'll change, but right now, I really only need one room. In Silverton, Oregon? It's about an hour south of Portland.
Okay. How big is
it? Oh, it's about 7,000. It's pretty small. It was only 5,000 when I moved there 5 years ago. It was really strong. So it's within commuting distance of Portland and certainly Salem. So. Oh, it's really, it still has a really small town feel to it. Yeah,
nice balance.
Yeah.
Okay, I know you're not finished, but let me interrupt your process and now move out of your reflective mode back into the experience of the group and join hands. Be present now. The experience and share your thanks or Christ's presence in your group. And what may have happened at the time of Thanksgiving.
Sisters in Christ, and sharing, and we know that you share burdens that makes them lighter. And thank you for lightening your load and knowing that other people are praying for us. And thank you for your constant presence in our lives.
Your presence.
This as we continue our time here together today and here this wonderful retreat.
Thank you for Dale and his ministry, his sense of worship and you work him.
And as you finish up and return to the outer circle, give your appreciations to your brothers and sisters. We have a few minutes to reflect on the experience. What did you notice?
Notice the barriers of that you talked about yesterday about wanting to be somebody. For me, made the experience a little uncomfortable at first, but that as it went on, I could feel the barriers going away. Feeling very close to the people in my group and just being with them, enjoying their presence.
we're always aware of our own problems, but then we look at another person and don't realize they've got some problems too, or something that needs to be prayed about.
Yeah. Even those who have it all together.
And who are they?
Did you notice a difference between your presence at the beginning, at the end of the body trip? What were the differences?
I think one of the things for me, and we talked about this even a little bit, is there's just this real mind process. Everything's in my head. And I'm trying to solve problems that way. I'm trying to think through things. I mean, it's just everything's happening just in my head. And then you sense it. There's more of you. And there's a larger presence. And in some ways, it gives a sense of peace because everything's sort of jammed into this one spot right here. If I can just sort of spread it out a little bit and open up, I think it opens up the whole of myself.
Yes.
And that just opens up this little window that's going to let the answer into my head.
Now notice how when you say meet a person, if you meet a person from here, if you meet a person like this, you can be present to the whole person, know the person in a different way. Because our mind tends to pick out things and tries to figure it out and make judgments. Well, you may have experienced different letting go in your body as you move through it. All of a sudden, your foot may have just kind of went. When I said, are you trusting the chair? You may have gone, All of that holding in our body, all of that stuff, that tension, is, I believe, about the striving that we talked about, striving to be somebody. I have to make my body be a certain way in order that I can be who I think I need to be. So what we just did was confess a lot of sin. We let go. We forgave. We were forgiven. In other words, what all that is about is the past. And what I believe from the past, I have to be. So it's hanging on to the past. And I can't be present now with this holding going on. So when I began to let go of that holding, it's like, oh. And vitality, energy, that whole idea of running and not being weary, we waste tons of energy dealing with that anxiety and striving and the illnesses and the deadening that it causes. And training jungle fighters, for instance, they train them not to look for the enemy. They train them to be present. Because if you're looking for the enemy, you're looking here and here, and you're going to miss what's over here. So they train them to have soft eyes, just be present. And when you're present, you can be aware of both fingers, and I can be aware of all of you in any movement that any of you make right now, if I'm open. Whereas if I focus, I miss a lot. Now, it's not that focusing isn't a value. There's a certain place for focusing. But when we stay focused all the time, as you're talking about, Jim, figuring it out, you know, look at all that we miss. This can be about. What did it feel like to ask someone to pray for you?
Felt right.
Okay. Feel familiar? For me, in our culture, a Lutheran culture, there is very little time when anyone asks someone else to pray for them,
right,
unless they're in total crisis,
right,
life is falling apart. But our growth in this life is about supporting one another. And as you say, we're not aware of needs, the needs in terms of our growth in life. So we wait until we're in total crisis before we pray for one another, rather than support one another in our growth in this new life. And so, for me, I would like to see this kind of thing happening in parishes. And it can either be a small group of three or four that get together regularly, or you could have a larger group where you do a little Bible reflection and discussion, and then move into groups of three. And I was inspired. I was invited to a Four Square Gospel men's luncheon. And they ate and chatted, and then they had one person present a little Bible study and a little discussion for a few minutes. And then they said, prayer time. Who wants prayer? And they prayed for a couple people with the whole group, and then they said, huddle time. Huddle time? Mm-hmm. Three got together, and whoever felt the need said, I'm dealing with this, I'm going to this, I'm struggling with this, and they stood there and prayed for each other. Wow! How exciting. And they felt very comfortable in with, they really dealt with some very personal issues. And, what do I do about this? I feel this. I know this is wrong, but I'm doing it. How do I deal with it? That kind of, as you say, the openness begins to be there, and trust and sense of hope that maybe this can be a resource. So I think we are participating minimally in the gift of new life, because we expect little, we may be receiving little. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.